are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My guest today is Eric Crocker, former professional defensive back, writer at 4th and 9. He's a Niner fan. We're going to talk defensive backs today on the show. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify. We are everywhere. If you have a smart speaker, all you got to do is say, play podcast Locked On 49ers. Hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. Keep those mailbag questions coming. You can also find me via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We got the Facebook, the Instagram, and all of that. But let's not waste any time because we've got a lot to get to with today's guest. My guest today is Eric Crocker. You know him from his work at 4th and 9 with the Cover 4 podcast he does with Dylan DeSimone over there, former NFL and AFL defensive back, and he is a DB guru. So we're going to talk DBs with Eric Crocker today. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Always a pleasure coming on.
Yeah, I always like having you on. You're my go-to DBs guy, so I hope that's okay, because I'm going to call on you often, I think, this offseason, because I think the 49ers might be looking at some guys.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big thing. You know, I see everybody talking about it, adding a cornerback and safeties and things like that. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll be busy in the secondary.
Absolutely. And before we get to the draft and free agency, I guess you got to self-scout a little bit first. So we should probably start there and evaluate the current roster of defensive backs. So, and oh, by the way, you do 7-on-7 stuff as a coach, right? There's the Croc Time U program that you coach up the kids, and I always see some videos and some very fancy footwork from the kids over there. But your 7-on-7 team is like one of the best, right?
Yeah, so my 7-on-7 team is called Team Elevate. We're based out of Stockton, 209. Pretty much have a bunch of local kids, but man, we travel around. We have a great time. We have some of the rankings have our high school squad as high as 12th in the nation, and some rankings have our junior squad as high as number 2 in the nation. So both programs are excelling, and it's great just seeing the kids grow and, you know, get out of Stockton and see that there's more to life than just this area. So, man, I have a ton of fun doing it, watching the kids, you know, develop and go off to college, man. It's great.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. And I'm seeing some of these kids getting scholarships and stuff like that, so that's got to feel great.
Oh, man, yeah, it's amazing, man. And, you know, I just try to teach them all the things that I didn't know.
Right. Yeah, you had to figure a lot out yourself. And so when you're looking at defensive backs, is there like one thing you're always looking for, whether it's in a young person that you're coaching or whether it's, you know, you're scouting a college guy that, you know, maybe the 49ers would be interested in? Is there like something that you're like, okay, I like this, and that's the first thing you look for with someone who's a defensive back?
Yeah, so there's one thing that like immediately jumps out to me, and that is their movement skills. So, you know, movement skills or like fluidity, that's probably the first thing that kind of jumps out to me because, you know, the stiffer you are, the harder it is to guard certain type of receivers. So, you know, whether you're tall or you're short or whatever, if you have good movement skills, you know, that's the first thing that lets me know, okay, there's probably something here. And then I just kind of look at the rest.
Now, there's a lot of high-level movement skills for the 49ers' current roster, and especially with the 2 third-round picks in back-to-back years. In 2017, it was Akella Witherspoon. Right. 2018, it was Tarvarius Moore. These guys put on shows at workouts, and they've been a work in progress on the field. So let's start there. And we already talked earlier this season about Akella Witherspoon, and unfortunately he had that injury at the end of the year, but started to make some progress right before he got hurt, I think. What was your takeaway with Akella, who had a lot of bumps early in the season?
Yeah, man. I mean, I thought it was great. It was great as far as, you know, if you kind of read between the lines, you can kind of hear the coaches say different things about how certain people were acting and things like that. I thought maybe some of it was a little bit of taking shots at Akella Witherspoon. We saw him get benched. And I was one that didn't necessarily, like when I watched the film, I didn't necessarily think that he was really getting benched outside of the Lions game. I didn't think that he was really getting benched for his play on the field. I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people like make it seem. Outside the Lions game was bad, but outside of that, I didn't think it was like terrible. So, you know, I think it was good. It lit a fire under him. I saw him come back, and, I mean, he was fairly quiet outside of, from the Raiders game and on. We didn't really hear his name called too many times, aside from, he had, some penalties here and there. I thought some of them were questionable, but, I mean, it seemed like he was giving up maybe, one catch a game, if that, from the Raiders game on. I thought it, he was doing a lot better up until the injury. It was unfortunate because I thought those last two games would have been, really good just to kind of build on that momentum he had started. It's not always going to be perfect. He started out last season when he got in. He was doing well this year. Played very well against the Vikings, got banged up, played against the Lions, was down, and then after that, you start hearing a lot of grumblings, and it was good to, posted the thread on Instagram. People took that as Dante Whitner taking shots, or I heard people say, what was the word they used? I heard on the podcast. I can't think of, he was trashing Akella Witherspoon, and to me, I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it as Dante Whitner was coaching him, and it was strong constructive criticism. And if Akella Witherspoon can learn from that and do some of the things that Whitner pointed out, I thought he would be a lot better for it. And I thought he did improve since that thread came out. So if he can keep that going, I think he's heading in the right direction. We'll talk about what I think about, what they should do at, the cornerback position, but. I still see a lot of encouraging signs when it comes to Akello.
So you still see a guy that possibly could be someone who grows into a long-term starter for the 49ers in Akello?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because one, his traits, I talked about movement skills and some of the things that he's able to do at 6'3", 200 pounds, you don't see it. Like, I've never seen that before. And I was one of the people, on Twitter before the draft, I was like, hey, this kid will kill a Witherspoon. I don't know why nobody's talking about him, but if the 49ers can grab him in the third round, I think that would be a steal. And they did. And he's had some ups and downs, but the thing that was his movement skills, his footwork, you typically don't see the combination that he has at his height. And if he can just I've seen him put it together. It's just about being more consistent. If he can work on just being consistent, and for the most part, he was over the last six or so games. If he can be that more times than not, I think, he definitely can be a long-term starter for the 49ers.
All right, a lot more to get to with Eric Crocker. We're going to talk free agency. We're going to talk draft. But first, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy. No rooting interest. You got people around you that are jazzed for postseason football. Your team's not in it. You're not headed toward 53rd Super Bowl that's just right around the corner. So this time of year, what you can do is you can get into the action daily by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service at MyBookie, and they offer some of the craziest, best props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money during bowl season and the NFL playoffs, you got to go to MyBookie. Not just NFL, you got NBA, bet on just about anything in the sporting world at MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON and you can get 50% deposit bonus when setting up a new account at MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. Let's move on to the 49ers 2018 rookie third rounder in Tarvarius Moore. He's pretty much on special teams all year long. And after Akella Witherspoon got hurt, he finally got some run at the end of the season. And I think there was some encouraging stuff. And he definitely plays physical. He's not afraid to support the run. And his athleticism is pretty obvious.
Right. So what I see with him is when I talk about those movement skills, I do think he lacks the ideal cornerback movement skills. Now when I look at him, I see what they like. There was a play in the preseason that he made where he broke on his ball, he reached around the guy, knocked the ball out, and it ended up getting intercepted by Mosley. Emmanuel Moseley. And I thought that was a great play that demonstrated his athleticism. I don't think he's as twitchy as I would like if, you know, if I were the one picking cornerbacks. He does move more like a safety to me, which makes sense because he's never played cornerback before. He's a converted safety. And even when I watch him play, I see a lot of that. He doesn't have the quick feet that I would like. I think he's a little heavy-footed, which would kind of hurt him in, like, his change of direction and, you know, breaking back on ball. So he is somebody that they probably will have to leave more pressed at the line of scrimmage. If you notice, we haven't really seen him play off too many times, like off coverage. And, you know, if, like you saw what the Seahawks did, they lined Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug Baldwin, he's a tough matchup for anybody, you know, regardless. But they tightened his split down, did a little move, and threw the fade to him on the goal line. And it was an easy touchdown because I don't think that Moore has those kind of movement skills to guard that type of receiver. Where, you know, Akella Witherspoon, we saw him lined up, you know, in that same situation on Baldwin. And, you know, he locked him up and broke the ball up. They did call P.I. I didn't think that was pass interference, but we saw him in the same situation, and it was better results as far as the coverage.
Yeah, Moore has a little bit of that long-leggedness, and he can really fly in a straight line, but it's that short area quicks that I think – and it's hard because when the 49ers are looking for 6'2", 6'3", corners, there's not very many of those guys that have the quicks like some other top corners in the league. And so you're kind of hamstrung if you're only looking for 6'2" cornerbacks. But it's
yeah, – that was my thing. I didn't like I kind of – I don't care for the fact that's what they, you know, they kind of, okay, got to be 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". It seems like that's what they're pegging for when, you know, typically, you know, when you're looking for better movement skills, this guy's, you know, more in the 5'10", 5'11", and 6 foot range. Those guys tend to have a little bit better movement skills. Sometimes you'll see a guy that's 6'1", if he's like a little bit, you know, more special, you see him have, you know, loose hips and great feet and change of direction, like maybe like a Darius Slay or somebody who has like some of the best feet in the game. But typically the taller you get, the longer those legs are and those movements, the change of direction, everything gets a little bit slower.
If you had to guess, if you had to put money on which one of those two guys, Akella Witherspoon or Tarvarius Moore, ends up being the better player and has a better chance to be the long-term starter for the 49ers, which one would you choose?
Definitely Akella Witherspoon. I mean, he just has much more, you know, anybody like, I know I see certain things with defensive backs, but if you just watch their natural movement skills, it's a lot more effortless for Akello than it is for Tarvarius Moore. And a lot of playing the position has to go in there. Now, there's other factors as far as, you know, their work ethic, their want to get in there. You know, people have challenged Akello Witherspoon's physicality, things like that. There's a lot more that goes into it and things that he would need to, you know, show that, you know, he can improve on, you know, over a long period of time and be consistent with. But, you know, if I just had to choose one just off of natural ability, I would definitely say Akello Witherspoon.
So the 49ers drafted another rookie cornerback in DJ Reed, and they used him at safety earlier in the season. Got some run at slot cornerback, and I feel like I liked what I saw from him in the slot better than as a free safety, and I don't know if they intended to use him at free safety originally or if that was forced by need because of injuries and things like that. But what did you see from DJ Reed? You like him better at safety? You like him better in the slot? And do you think he's a long-term piece for the 49ers?
Yeah, I think they definitely – I think it was in their plans all along to start to have him playing that safety. If you remember going back to rookie minicamp, there were reports that he was getting reps at free safety as well as slot. And when I went to the training camp practices, same thing. I saw him getting reps at the second team free safety and, you know, reps in the slot as well. So, you know, his versatility is definitely intriguing. I think he played well. I still would, you know, if I had to choose between him and Kawan Williams, I would definitely go Kawan Williams in the slot. But just his versatility and being able to, you know, do those things and play physical in the box or play deep free safety, which he didn't really make too many plays, but he wasn't the reason where, like, you know, we saw, you know, Colbert kind of take a step backwards and misjudge some balls and give him some deep balls and kind of leave some guys out to dry. So I didn't see that from Reed. So you know, I think there are signs that definitely I think he played a little bit better at free safety. But, you know, it's his rookie year, and rookies, they're going to have ups and downs. So, you know, it's all about year two and how he, you know, just continues to, you know, kind of get better and string it together.
Yeah, I think it was a solid fifth-round pick for the 49ers. I don't know if he's a high upside guy, but versatility, toughness, I think he's one of those guys that's going to stick. He can give you, you know, value on special teams as well. So he should stick around for a long time. So I like that.
Had the long kick return against the Lions.
Yeah, the big kick return. Yeah, that was. I was at that game. That was a fun one. How about Richard Sherman? How much do you think he has left in the tank? And did your ears perk up a little bit when he mentioned that he's kind of eyeing a long-term shift to safety at some point in his career?
Yeah, so I see some things that are kind of weird. Like when I'm watching the film, it was something that jumped out over and over. And, you know, I don't know Richard Sherman. So, and, you know, he's the all-pro, so I don't want to question him. I'm just some guy on Twitter that, you know, loves talking football. But, you know, I see him do this thing where he's pressing and he's kind of like, it's like he's like a one-hand stab. And no matter which way the receiver goes, he always turns like towards the sideline. And a guy easily gets, you know, inside releases. And if they run a slant, it's like Sherman's lost. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he just hasn't been challenged as much as far as, you know, balls thrown his way. You know, people just missed it a lot of times and weren't looking to attack him. But that was something I was concerning, and it's concerning to me because I don't know if he's doing that to overcompensate for a lack of something else, like maybe speed. So that was probably one of the things that when I kind of started looking and being like, you know what, I don't know how, you know, either if he's not 100%, which he might not have been. I heard he started, like, winning some athletic contests towards the end of the year, so maybe he's coming back, but it was something that was alarming to me and kind of made me – I mean, he's never had, like, the greatest top-end speed, but I think, you know, some of his athleticism might be kind of leaving him. So a move to safety, I understand it. I actually – I'm probably alone on this, but I think he would be probably better suited at strong safety. He's extremely smart. He can play down there in those spaces, sideline to sideline. He's super aggressive. We saw him make a bunch of open-field tackles against Saquon Barkley. In the flats in that Giants game, I would like him probably more there than somebody that I have to trust to play sideline to sideline at deep middle free safety.
Right, yeah, because it's you're going single high safety there. You need to have speed's the number one thing. So if Sherman's moving off corner because of speed, then I'm kind of with you on that. I like that idea of having him play strong safety rather than free safety. And he's got plenty of size, and he could probably put on a few extra pounds there if he needed to.
You know, he's long, like built, you know, long leg, long arms. But I don't think he's as skinny as people kind of like just think. Like when you see him in person, it's like, yeah, he's long and kind of long legs and long arms and stuff, but he's not like bony, you know? And he's strong. He's a strong dude. So, I definitely like – that's where I would look to play him, and I think he would be great there. Maybe not as hard a hitter as somebody like Cam Chancellor, but I don't think you would see as many, you know, coverage issues as maybe, you know, Tart, like what we've seen from Tart or, you know, even kind of Harris at his limited time playing at that position.
Yeah, and with Sherman's length, that would be a weapon against tight ends too. So that's another right. – benefit if he was to play a little bit closer to the line and played a little bit more over tight ends. That's an interesting one, but I don't think the 49ers are going to move him over there anytime soon because I think they like having him out at corner for the time being, and hopefully, and we'll see, maybe if he starts to get tested more going forward, but I kind of thought that too, and that's why I wanted to ask you about what you saw with your trained eye with Sherman, because he just got tested so little. I was thinking, is he that good, or is it just all reputation right now?
I think a lot of it has to do with reputation because when you saw when guys did attack him, I see the PFF numbers, but it kind of doesn't really match up with kind of what I saw. You know, the Broncos went after him with Tim Patrick, former 49er. And Patrick actually had probably his best game of the season. He had like 7 catches for 85 yards. Most of that was with Sherman guarding him, and they left some on the table too there. Another game, Mike Evans and Tampa Bay. Now, I mean, anybody would have trouble with Mike Evans, but they went right at him, and they had success. Those are things that I think people – I mean, I hope I'm not, like, exposing him or anything like that. But, you know, I think if I were an opposing team, I probably would have tried him a little bit more.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing, but if you're having so much success on the other side, it's like, I guess you don't have to, so why worry about it? Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of coverage busts. I think that was, to me, that was like the bigger issue than anything where, for whatever reason, I don't know, miscommunications or whatnot, there were just so many coverage busts. And I think, I know, I hear a lot of people say like, oh, well, why attack, you know, Sherman and you could attack the other side, but I think there was the bigger issue was all those coverage busts, which happened throughout the year. I think that was more of the issue than anything.
All right, we still got to talk draft here, too. So more with Eric Crocker right after this. If you're looking for somebody over the top that can kind of be the quarterback of that defense in the secondary, and a lot of people said when the 49ers hired Robert Saleh and this cover three scheme and that the most important position was actually free safety. And Earl Thomas is what made everything go in Seattle. And so are you as on board as most everybody else is with going all out for Earl Thomas in the offseason and just solidifying that free safety spot?
Oh, definitely. And the reason why is because I don't want to give up on Colbert yet. I think his single high safety film in his rookie year was some of the better single high film I've seen, better than even guys like, you know, Malik Hooker, his rookie year. But, you know, so I don't want to give up on him yet. He was kind of like trending downwards this year. Maybe it was the injuries. He started off with a hampered like hamstring after like week one or two. I know when he was playing in the Chiefs game, he was basically playing on like one leg. And I don't even think he ended up finishing the game. So, you know, those hamstring injuries kind of linger. And maybe that could have led to a lot of, you know, his issues. But in year three, if I'm Shanahan and I'm John Lynch, I want to go for it all. And if I'm going for it, I'm bringing in people that I know definitely can help me. And you know, and still I have Colbert. You know, if you have Colbert as a backup to Earl Thomas, I think that's a win-win situation for the 49ers.
Absolutely.
So I would write a blank check to Earl Thomas just because, one, you have the money. Two, I think this is definitely more of a win now type situation. And, you know, with all those coverage busts and things like that, I think he would help with that. I think he would help with our lack of turnovers or takeaways that we were able to get, that the 49ers were able to get. I think that he would help in that as well. So, and just overall kind of attitude, I think he'd help tremendously. And he hasn't dropped off, at least from what I've seen. You know, when I watched him early last year against the Cowboys, against the Broncos, he was making play after play.
Yeah, that dude's just freaky, too, with his range and his ability and the angles he takes to the ball. He just gets everywhere instantly. You think, how can he cover that much ground? I'm with you, man. Open up the checkbook, whatever you got to do there. That will help so much along with the pass rush, which we're not going to get into the pass rush on this episode, even though I feel like I talk about the pass rush just about every episode. So, yeah, we can leave that one there, but that'll help out everybody in the secondary. So, looking at free agent cornerbacks, are there any names on the free agent market at cornerback that interest you? And would you even go that route? Do you want to bring in a guy that is instantly the starter over Kelly Witherspoon and Tarvarius Moore, or maybe just bring in someone that might compete with them but still allow them to win a job?
Yeah, so I was listening to, you know, Winky Wednesday, you and Nick Winkler, and I think you guys hit it on the head. I don't think with me having two, you know, third-round draft picks who I'm looking to develop, and, you know, I've seen signs that they can play, I wouldn't necessarily bring in somebody just to start, like, 100%, but what I would do is bring in somebody that's going to compete, so and make it a competition. So it's going to sound kind of weird, but who I would bring in and who's going to be a free agent is McCourty. The cornerback, you know, he's a little bit, you know, up there in age. He's playing for the Patriots right now, and he's having a really solid season. Bringing somebody like that's a veteran, he challenges them as far as, okay, Akello, if you're not on your A game, or Tarvarius Moore, if you're not on your A game, then McCourty is going to be the one that ends up starting, and, you know, for this playoff run. But that's kind of the route I would go. For at least this season coming up, have somebody who I would feel comfortable with starting, if need be, if the other guys don't step up. And if they don't step up, then I know moving forward, now I really have to address this.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting name, McCourty, and I was kind of thinking the same thing. And the guy I've been looking at, even though I don't know how he played in 2017 for the Jets, but Morris Claiborne's a name that kind of rings out to me just because it's a veteran guy, someone that you know you could trust over there. But that if it wouldn't cost a bunch of money, and it would be more of a short-term deal because he's not the youngest guy. And then you would have, you know, he would be an opponent. He would be a formidable opponent to compete with for these young guys. And if they do beat him out, then it's like, okay, good. You beat out a pretty good player.
Right. And yep, I like that idea too. And, you know, you want somebody that's going to push everybody to compete. You make it an open competition. I'm pretty sure you're going to get everybody's A game. And if Claiborne beats you out, great. We at least we have better depth because right now, you know, at least this season, we saw what happened with the 49ers, injury after injury, and you started having to play Maben, and we saw what happened in the Packers game.
Not only you're getting better because you're developing and you're creating competition there, but you're improving depth, and guys like Colbert and Akella Witherspoon aren't just given jobs. I think that's a little bit of a problem the 49ers ran into is young players that are like, cool, I've arrived, I'm here. And now it's going to be like, yeah, you got to win your job. And I loved that Richard Sherman said, you wipe all the names off of the whiteboard on the depth chart and everybody earns their spot in 2019. I love that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let's talk draft here with the remaining few minutes that we have. How deep have you dug into the cornerback film in the draft or the safety film in the draft? Do you have any favorites right now?
I haven't looked at any. Okay, so I did have a favorite. And unfortunately, this guy decided to go back to college. But his name is Bryce Hall. And Bryce Hall, man, he's about 6'1", 200 pounds. He's a cornerback from Virginia. I mean, his off coverage for somebody his size, you know, I talked about, the taller you get, the longer you get, the harder it is for you to get in and out of breaks and your hips start to get tighter. Well, he doesn't have any of those issues. He can play off coverage. He can play press. He's really good finding the ball. He was definitely going to be my favorite cornerback in the draft. Early on, it was Byron Murphy. Really like him a lot. I still like him a lot. But I think when, you know, you talk about, you know, checking all the boxes, Bryce Hall, man, I'm surprised that he went back to college because I think, you know, if he can run, you know, test well, I think he would have been a high draft pick if other guys kind of think like I do.
Yeah, and that's an interesting name to remember because if the 49ers use the plan that we've sort of laid out there, then maybe you find out after 2019 that you can't count on Moore or Witherspoon to be a starter, and you maybe have some age at corner. You need to go high. You need to draft a cornerback high, maybe looking at Bryce Hall in the 2020 draft. So just remember that name, 49ers fans. File that in the back of your mind. Are there any – because I know you have – I want to tease an article that you have coming up on 4thandnine.com, an off-season fix the 49ers type of article.
Right.
Might we see some defensive backs in there? Any names that are favorites for you as you look towards the draft that would be available maybe outside of round one?
Yeah, there's one that I added him, then I took him off, and then I added him. And because I'm like, okay, maybe you don't draft a cornerback this year. Maybe you drafted two, you know, they're not playing – well, to me, they're not playing terrible. So hold off on drafting the corner this year. But if I did, I would say in the second round, you can get Trayvon Mullen. And people are going to be like, well, Eric, you talk bad about him on Twitter. I don't really talk bad about him on Twitter. What I do is, you know, kind of like what Whitner did with Akella Witherspoon, it's constructive criticism, things that I feel like he can get better at because he has the talent. So I think sometimes he's a little bit late reacting to things. So maybe from like a mental standpoint, the physical traits are all there. He has good size. He has good speed. He has good feet. He has good hips. He can run downfield with anybody. I just think sometimes on passes that are kind of like underneath, slants, comebacks. We saw it in the championship game. We saw the interception. But if you would have seen him in the actual like one-on-one coverage, they ran a 10-yard comeback and he ended up 5 yards off of the guy. And it was an easy completion. So I think there's some things like mentally that he needs to either like get coached up on or just continue to work at. But the physical traits are there. I just think from a mental aspect, he has to get a little bit better. But Trayvon Mullen, that's somebody that I would, if I were interested in a corner for the 49ers in, you know, early rounds, I would say, you know, round second round, he'll probably go. He might go first round. I don't know. Some people are higher on him than I am. But, yeah, he's a very intriguing prospect.
Do you have Byron Murphy over Greedy Williams?
Yeah. So the reason why some of those things I just said about, you know, being able to play with your mind, I don't think that Byron Murphy, he definitely doesn't have the physical traits that Greedy does. He's not as long as he is, you know, Greedy being 6'2", Byron Murphy being roughly 5'11". He might not have that same kind of top-end speed, but he just reminds me of a guy like Courtland Finnegan, if you guys can remember him.
Yeah.
Just feisty. He has a knack for making plays on the ball. It doesn't matter how big the receiver is. He's a dog. He likes to talk trash. He's not as high as, like, I had Denzel Ward last year, but I do think that he's definitely, you know, he's probably my CB1 over Greedy, who I see sometimes lack of effort. I saw it in the Alabama game, and I'm like, am I tripping, or did this guy just start kind of just jogging and just give up on the play? So you would see him do that here and there, and those type of things bother me because it's like, okay, if you do that now, maybe you do give me effort, you know, your first couple years in the NFL, but when you feel like you have arrived and you get paid, are you going to still, you know, are you going to revert back to some of the things I saw with you in college? So those kind of things worry me a little bit with Greedy Williams and kind of knock him down just a tad bit. But, you know, he definitely has good athletic traits, and cornerback seems to be something that kind of comes natural to him.
That is Eric Crocker of 4thandnine.com. When's that Fixing the 49ers article going to be popping up over there?
It'll be out soon, I'd say, by Friday.
Awesome. Look for that stuff from Eric Crocker. Follow him on Twitter, @Eric_Crocker. Croc, always a pleasure. Thanks, man, for joining me once again here.
Man, thanks for having me on.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Eric for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.